And my name is Bree. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm finding victory in setting healthy boundaries, and I struggle with relationships and grief. Hi. So we're on gratitude, which is principle 7. So let's go ahead and read that. So reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And step 11 goes along with that. So let's all read that together. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. And the verse with that is Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. 3:16. Okay, do me a favor, just for a moment, everybody just close your eyes. And think of something that's happy. Think of a blessing that was bestowed upon you. Maybe it was an event. Maybe it's a person, an organization that brought you happiness, that makes your heart smile. Okay, open your eyes. So imagine all these balloons are those events or those blessings. And if you pull out your sheet, okay, we're gonna get to the, for the more task-oriented people, much like me, I'm very type A, we're gonna go right to the fill in the blanks. We're gonna go right to fill in the blanks. Don't worry, we'll circle back to it later, trust me. But we're going to go right to fill in the blanks. So we're here talking about gratitude. All these just, a beautiful day, these memories we have in our brains. So the first thing that we should be thankful for is God. And the verse, the Philippians verse, which is Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we can be thankful for God. We know that he gives us, here in Oregon especially, not only beautiful sunshine, but although it rains, it's fairly temperate here. We have a beautiful climate, clean air. So we have a lot to be thankful for. The second thing is to be thankful for others. If you've been around here, maybe even more than just a couple times, you probably have some brothers or sisters that have come up alongside you that are here to walk this journey with you. So Colossians 3:15-16, that verse says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. So we're grateful and thankful for other people that we meet that come alongside us. And the third thing that we can be thankful for is recovery. Of course, we're here tonight at CR, one of the most amazing ministries that I've even come across. And so Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 12:1, as for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. So in recovery, of course, we're given tools. We learn new ways to think and to deal with life's hurts and habits and hang-ups. So we can be thankful for recovery. And lastly, we can be thankful for our church. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving, Psalms 104 says. Church should be a place where you come together and you have community and you learn about God and about serving, and it can be this wonderful place. And so we have all these four main areas that, of course, seem so easy to be grateful for. So if we go all the way back to that first, the principle that we read, so you're going to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer. Okay, that seems pretty easy. So we've got four things to be grateful for. So God, other people, CR, or recovery, and church, and cool. So I'm going to take 10, 15 minutes minimum. I do a little bit more, but, you know, let's not get crazy here. 10 or 15 minutes in the morning. So I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to talk to God, and life's going to be great, and I'm going to just have this amazing just turn of events of my life, and I'm going to be grateful. Okay, sweet. I'm done. of course, you guys know it's not that easy, is it? Don't we wish it was? Okay, so I want three totally random volunteers. How about Jen, Kent, and Todd? Would you come join me on stage? Funny how that works. Okay, so Miss Jen, you're that one.
Oh, patriotic.
Todd, that one is yours. And Mr. Kent, that one is yours. All right. No, these don't float. Not everybody gets a floaty balloon. All right. So, we all had these awesome, fun, amazing things, right, that we thought of. What happened, Kent? Oh, what? Was there something in your balloon? Dude, what'd you get? He got 10 bucks. Oh, by the way, that goes in the offering tonight. But anyway. So, hey, he got $10. Did you guys see that? Isn't that cool? So, but let me ask you. Depending on why Kent is here, is that $10 a blessing? What if Kent struggled with a shopping addiction? Just saying. What if that 10 bucks was just enough money for Kent to go buy more liquor to fuel his drinking problem? Is that $10 a blessing or is it a curse? You're right, I'm going to do it. Okay, Miss Jen, what did you get?
Pop balloon.
What's that? Oh, Jen got something. But Jen didn't get $10. What'd you get? Did you get a letter?
Oh, yes.
Here. Well, since you don't have a mic, I'll read it. Okay. Sorry. It says, "My dearest daughter, you have worked so hard your entire life. You have served others, and you have served me well. I am so pleased, my grateful servant. Love, your heavenly Father." So did Jen get anything less than Kent? I mean, she didn't get 10 bucks, but she received praise. And whatever Jen is here for in Jen's recovery, is that good? Is that a blessing? Or is it a curse? If you struggle with pride, is praise a blessing or a curse? Todd, what'd you get, buddy?
A balloon.
Todd didn't get anything. Did you guys expect that Todd would get money or maybe praise or something else, some other object? Mm-hmm. Is that a blessing or a curse? See, because again, depending on what Todd is here, why he's here, what his recovery area is, maybe the fact that Todd got nothing is more of a blessing than either of what these two folks got. Depends on why you're here. Yeah. Right? Okay. Can you thank my volunteers? Yeah. Thanks, you guys. See, I've learned the hard way that God gives us what we need, not what we want. So I had a twin brother. So I grew up on the East Coast, and I grew up in a family that was pretty black and white. You followed the rules, flew under the radar, which was me. Everything worked just fine. You didn't follow the rules, not so comfy. So I developed a really strong sense of right and wrong, of black and white, of this fair, not fair. And let me tell you, I learned life's not fair. If you didn't know that, life's not fair. So I became the ultimate rule follower. Me, followed all the rules. I got good grades. I was never arrested. I graduated from college. I even got a master's degree. I married my college sweetheart. I got a great job. I worked hard. Ended up moving to Oregon, bought a big house in West Lynn. I had a beautiful toddler baby girl, and I was pregnant with my son. Followed the rules. And I was the most ungrateful person on the planet. My BMW wasn't new enough. My job was awesome, but I didn't have the next title or the next promotion or the next raise. I traveled all over the world for business, and I complained about how tired I was. And that hotel I stayed in the last time, well, the time before that it was a 5-star, and this time it was only a 4-star, and it was never good enough. And so even though God had blessed me so tremendously, I had more than most people could imagine, and I was the most ungrateful person. Nothing was ever good enough. And then it all changed. My husband decided to leave me when I was 8 months pregnant. My brother died at the age of 36. That house I loved, I lost it because of the divorce. And 3.5 years ago, I walked through those doors, never more broken. And you know what I found? I found new life. I found a chance to change and to do it all differently. I learned from these amazing people here. Sorry, I lost my place. I learned from these amazing people here that there was this guy, his name was Jesus, and that he was the true lover of my soul. And all those things, they're nice. They don't mean anything. No husband, no family, child, job, money, person, thing, car, trip is ever going to fill that space except Jesus. So here's the thing. Here's the crux. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who he is? Do you have a relationship with him? Because he wants you to. He really does. And if you have questions, anybody with a lanyard on would be more than happy to talk to you tonight. I would be happy to talk to you tonight. Because Jesus, he wants you to love him the way that he loves you. You know, I say I'm a pretty tough chick. Although I grew up in the suburbs, I actually say I'm from Philadelphia, even though I grew up in the burbs. And I do definitely have, as those of you guys that know me, it can be a little loud and have a little bit of an aggressive East Coast too going. And sometimes it doesn't entirely work so well here in Portland. So I think I'm a pretty tough chick. But I'd love to tell you that as soon as I started doing quiet time and talking to Jesus and had a relationship, that everything got better. And it didn't. A year ago, I watched my father die of stage 4 lung cancer. My uncle died. My childhood, one of my best friends, committed suicide. On March 1st, my aunt had a stroke in front of my small children, and I watched her die in the hospital later that day. And then 2 months ago, my 11-year-old dog, my first baby, my Drake, my black lab, couldn't walk anymore, and I had to put him to sleep. And then those of you that know me, for my 40th birthday, I got to buy myself braces. But you see, In all of that, I promise you, I have never felt more blessed and more loved in my entire life. That husband, that house, those cars, that job didn't bring me blessings. Jesus has brought me blessings. Being here with you people, walking alongside my brothers and sisters and seeing how your lives have changed, have been tremendous blessings, each of you. So Jesus, he's the lover of my soul, and he's the lover of your soul, and he is good, And no matter all the stuff that happens, I promise you, he is good. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I cling to that because I know I've lived a lot of life in the last 4 or 5 years that he has a plan. And I have tried so hard to surrender and submit to that plan. And in that surrender, I have found so much peace. So let's go back to the beginning while we're all here tonight talking about gratitude, about this principle, about reserving a daily time with God. So I started my first step study just about 3 years ago. Actually, like I think like this week, 3 years ago. And about halfway through, I started doing quiet time. I had no idea what I was doing, though. Absolutely none. But I knew that it was this pathway we talk about, this pathway to learn more about God, to learn more about Jesus. And so tonight, I'm going to share with you some practical things on how you can do quiet time. This is just what Bree does. This is what I do. This is in no way, shape, or form what I'm saying you need to do. But I sat there that first morning like, okay, here we go. And I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. So follow with me, if you will. Okay. Table, pretend. Okay. All right. So the first thing you need to do is decide. Decide. Everybody decided to come here tonight. You probably decided to watch TV maybe last night, or maybe you watched the World Cup soccer game today, but you decided to do it. So decide. The second thing, too, is plan. Plan. You probably planned to leave work or wherever you were at a certain time to get here, knowing traffic would be like whatever it was, to be here for dinner or for worship or for whatever. You made a plan to get here. You made a plan to watch TV last night. You made a plan to go have lunch with a friend or a business dinner or whatever, right? You made a plan. Then we're going to talk about how to execute the plan. So number two, so if you're going to just spend 15 minutes in the morning, give yourself 20, 5-minute buffer, okay? So here we go. So when I plan to get up in the morning, I have to be at work at 8:30. I work in downtown Portland. I live down the road here in West Lynn. I have two kids that go to two different schools. So I have about an hour-ish commute, dropping the kids off, and then I do my quiet time. So I do roughly actually 30 to 40 minutes, but that's just me. I sustained a minor back injury from a car accident, and so I have to work out because that's how I manage the pain. So I just do some strength training in the morning, 20 to 30 minutes, a couple times a week. Then I have to eat breakfast and shower and get the kids ready and kids breakfast and all that. So I get up 3.5 hours before I have to be at work to do my quiet time. So my alarm goes off between 5 and 5:15 in the morning to be at work at 8:30, so that I have time to go downstairs and sit in my kitchen and be with Jesus. Not trying to win any awards, but I go to bed early the night before. I don't watch TV any longer. I don't read fictional books all that much anymore, so that I can be with my kids, go to bed at a nice time, and I get up really early, so I have undivided time with Jesus. So I ask you, in your planning, what's more important? So make a plan. Okay, so now here's the practical part. Okay, so my place is my kitchen table. My kids, I have a two-story house, little house, it's really cute. My kids are upstairs asleep in the kitchen, quiet. And I sit at my kitchen table. And I have a little windowsill. And on the windowsill lives my devotional, my Bible, I journal, a pen, and this is my colorful, yours are white, my verse gratitude book that you all have. Okay? This is just what I do. Brie. Oh, yeah, and lots of coffee. That's the other thing. Okay, so pretend this is my coffee. Okay, so I use a devotional. We have CR devotionals here that just came out earlier this year. You also can get, there's plenty of free online devotionals you can sign up for that will come directly to your email. The one that I get is from Rick Warren, who is the founder of Saddleback Church, which is where Celebrate Recovery was started. Again, ask anyone that has a lanyard. We can probably help you out. If you don't have a Bible, we sell CR Bibles here at the table. You can get free smartphone apps. The Bible apps are free. If you don't have a smartphone, if you don't have $20 to buy a Bible, talk to someone with a lanyard. We will figure out how to get you a Bible, okay? Not going to break the bank here. We'll figure it out. Okay, so I open my devotional, and I for this day, and I read it. And then I probably drink some coffee, and then I probably read it again, because I'm not entirely awake at 5:15 in the morning. And then I might even read it a third time and drink some more coffee, because I'm probably still not awake at 5:15 in the morning. And then it has verses. So then I look up the verse. Okay, so I look up the verse. So for me, you guys, most of you that know me, know I'm a multitasker. So I found that when I was doing quiet time in the morning, that my brain would wander. And I'm thinking about doing the dishes and this Excel work project I had to do and the kids have dance class and the floor is dirty and the dog is barking. So I had a really hard time just silently kind of praying. So we really greatly encourage journaling here at CR. Anybody that's been through a step study knows that you journal your questions for your step study homework. So I found journaling was a really great way for me to focus and not get distracted. So the other thing that I try to do, and you have to bear with me a little bit here, is, so when I started, when I was in my step study, it was when I was going through my divorce and when my brother died. So I was in therapy, lots of therapy, it was great. And so the therapist said, well, you know, Jesus, he's the lover of your soul. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that. And she says, well, he's your real husband. Like, he's your boyfriend. And I was like, okay, so I said, so what do I need an earthly husband for if Jesus is all I need? And she said, exactly. And I was like, oh, okay. So again, so here I am, like, going through a divorce, real husband's leaving, brother died, and here's this Jesus guy. So I knew, and I had been at CR long enough, right? Like, I knew that I needed to be in love with Jesus, right? I knew that this intimate relationship with him was going to provide so much growth and healing, and I really didn't want to be the person I had become. So I knew intellectually in my brain that this is what needed to happen, but I didn't actually feel that at all. So here's what I decided to do. I decided to fake it until I felt it. And so how I was going to fake it was that when I do my journaling, I actually write a love letter every morning to Jesus, like he's my husband. So, next slide. This is what one of my journal pages. So this is, I always start with the date, Monday, June 23rd. And I start with a verse that came from my devotional that day, which was Deuteronomy 31:6, which, if you can read my writing, says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then I write, dear Jesus, I am thankful for, I am grateful for. And sometimes all that says is for today, getting me through yesterday, breathing, shelter, clean air. Because sometimes it's really hard to see the blessings. It's really hard to be grateful when there's so much pain. But even the smallest thing makes a difference. And then I go on and I journal and I ask for prayer for other people. And then I go on and ask for things that I need. And then the next slide. And then I sign everyone like I would a love letter to my spouse. All my love, Bree. You see, I faked it until I felt it. Okay, so everybody should have a little white index card book. Mine's colorful. Mine's old. It's well-loved. And I have a lot of pages. So the first page that you have should say name on it. Do the slide. Back one. So go ahead and put your name on the front. We had 10 amazing sisters here tonight that took time to make these books for each of you. They're all handmade, customized, and unique as each of you here in this room. And then the next card is that what I talked about, that really, really basic gratitude list, right? So if you can think of nothing else, your sisters have given you 4, 5, 6 basic things to be grateful for. If you got one of my books, it says, what does it say? Clean air. Clean water. We live in America. Not everybody has clean air or clean water. Not very far away, they don't have clean water. We live in Oregon, so rain and sunshine. CR in Jesus. The next page is a blank page, and that's for you. That's for you to fill out your gratitude list. And I challenge you, put the fun, smiley, rainbows, and sunshine stuff on there. But try to find the blessings, the gratitude, even in those hard moments. What did you learn out of that situation? How did God turn that thing around, which in that moment felt so awful and so painful? And what did you learn? How did you change? How out of in that moment did you bless somebody else? And then the last, there should be another verse or two written. Again, each one's different. If you got one of my books, it says Jeremiah 29:11. If you walk upstairs in my house, my little house, there's a plaque above my washer and dryer that has the Jeremiah verse. So these verses are just for you, for encouragement. When I was going through the step study, there were times I literally did not know how I was going to get through the next hour. I thought I was going to absolutely shatter. So these index, and I've added a lot, but they can fit in your pocket, purse, backpack, work, briefcase. And when you just can't figure out how to get through the next 5 minutes, 5 hours, even if you have to go into the men's room or the ladies' room, take 5 minutes, take your verse book, and read. Read what someone has written for you. And find that hope. Find things to be grateful for. And then you have 8, 10, 12 blank cards that you can write new verses on. And so the next slide, if you want to take some notes, here are just some verse references that you can write down. So one really easy way to start doing quiet time in the morning would be if you wanted to write these down and then each day look up one of these verses and then pray about it, journal about it, just to get in that habit. Okay. Because you see, even in all the brokenness, there have been so many new blessings that have come into my life. So many things to be grateful for. And if you remember our handout, those four things are God. He is the lover of our soul. We can have eternal hope in him, that he's got our back. And he's going to help us to retrain our minds and to become new people. And then when we have a solid foundation, we can see that how these other people, these brothers and sisters, come alongside us and they fight for us. They fight with us, and you can experience such joy, new experiences and recovery. I mean, God is the foundation, but what an amazing ministry things like CRR, where you get tools. You learn healthy habits, and there are milestones like Greg tonight. How amazing was that? 8 years where we can see how we're changing, letting God work in us and then through us. And then lastly, your church. And life is meant to be filled with so much joy and to worship in community with people, and church should be fun. And if your church isn't fun, there are fun churches. Get involved, give back. So in a practical sense, am I grateful that my husband left me for that action? Am I grateful that my brother died for that action? Absolutely not. But I'm grateful for all of the things that have come out of those experiences. You see, my circumstances didn't change. Not really very much at all. I mean, I moved a mile away, right? I still have to deal with my ex-husband, which, by the way, is a very respectful relationship. I still have to deal with the grief and the loss of my twin brother. So my circumstances didn't change. But my heart is what changed. So I decided that from such ungratefulness that I was going to now live with reckless abandon to be grateful for every blessing that God gives me today and each day, and not worry about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, but about today. But also, when you get some recovery under your belt, don't hold on to those blessings so tightly like I did. So you can be grateful for them, but they can kind of take a little bit of control, right? And so I really now try to humbly submit my house, my relationships, my money, my kids, my job, my whatever, because I don't want to go back there. And I do. I have new things to be grateful for. I have an amazing CR family. I have an accountability partner who's become one of my closest friends. I have an amazing sponsor, brothers and sisters in Christ who come alongside me every day. And I am so grateful. But I'll tell you what, there's only one person that really matters, and that's Jesus. And so red's my favorite color, so if this works, so this is Jesus, and I know that he has everything else. Thank you. Let's pray.